Welcome to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. When ATMs arrived, people said that bank branches would disappear. They didn't. And they didn't disappear when people began banking online. People want access to banks in more than one way and in more than one location. And banks are listening. Marilyn Howe, Senior Manager of Advisory Services at Diebold Nixdorf, says banks are learning how their customers use technology to manage their finances.
Especially with the younger generations, they're looking for that true omnichannel experience. They want to be able to interact digitally. They want to be able to do things on their mobile device. And if they have to make an important financial decision, they want to go in and look at someone in the eye and get some consultative feedback from a banker that they have a relationship with.
Marilyn Howe tells Esri's John Lenihan how the traditional banking industry is using technology to help them serve their customers better.
Hi, Marilyn, and welcome to Esri and the Science Aware podcast.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
The Geographic Information System path, or GIS path, isn't the usual way to come into banking. So which came first?
Yeah, that's very true. So I went to San Diego State. I did my bachelor's and my master's in GIS. So I do have that traditional GIS education, I guess, behind me. And while I was in the grad program, I got an internship at Union Bank, and it was titled something like real estate strategy. And I was like, well, that sounds interesting. And I kind of just applied and went for it. And that was all doing site selection for Union Bank and their branch network at the time. And that was kind of my foray into financial services. So from there, I went on to Citibank, and that kind of started the whole career.
Well, perfect segue. So you've worked at larger banks, like the Citibank that you referred to, but at the other end of the spectrum, you've also consulted with credit unions and smaller kind of community institutions. What are some of the differences in how they embrace change technology?
Yeah, it's very different. I found with the big banks, they're a little slower to make big changes. You know, they're subject to a lot of regulatory constraints. There's a lot of hoops to jump through just to get approvals for things. And when I started working for credit unions and understanding some of their motivations and priorities, I found that they were very member-centric. They were willing to make bigger investments and kind of just jump on things that they thought were going to really dramatically improve their overall member experience. They were much more willing to just kind of take a risk, which I love from my perspective because you get to learn so much from their experiences and just see how their members are adopting.
I would have also thought that to make them receptive to change, the both the larger and the small banks, getting a leg up in competition. But you didn't find that, or did you?
Yeah, I think it's if you're the next hot thing, you get a lot of funding, you get a lot of attention, you get a lot of press around it, and you're able to build some momentums that way with the big banks. I would say anything with AI, anything with digital platforms, partnerships are really big right now. And there's a lot of funding and momentum going into development on those items. I think if you're doing things like I was doing with branch network, that might have a little less just appeal or draw.
More traditional.
Yeah.
You hear about the fintech space and just all the investments and the work being done there.
Yes, exactly.
So now you're working at Diebold Nixdorf. So Diebold is more than 100 years old and would like you to kind of tell us a little more about them. But it operates in more than 100 countries globally, thousands of employees. Can you tell us a little more?
Yes. So Diebold, it is a financial technology company. They do also have a retail arm of the organization, but they're kept pretty separate. So myself being on the banking side, I don't personally have a lot of exposure to the retail side, but they do the point of sale. They even do some servicing on electric vehicle charging. So it has quite a large scope for this big organization, especially on the global scale. Where we work the most on the banking side of things is with ATMs. So as you mentioned, it's a 100-year-old company. They actually started with safes and vaults and physical security back in the day. There's some old Diebold safe in Chicago that was around when Abraham Lincoln was president.
Oh, wow.
Is one of our claims to fame. But since then, it's evolved as technology has evolved and how consumers have changed how they're banking. And we've evolved with that too. Now we're focused more on what is a priority to financial institutions, which is all self-service and efficiency and making sure we're meeting consumers in the way that they want to be served by their FI.
Okay. So can you expand on that? How does that work when you visit one of your customers?
Yeah. So every financial institution is at kind of a different phase of their transformation. So we know that every industry is transforming, but it's all kind of at different speeds. So every financial institution is a little different. So we go in there and try to understand exactly where they are. And I'm sure you've had this experience. You walk into a bank branch and it's, you know, the old traditional bank with the traditional teller line. Maybe it's made of brick or has wood or murals. And you're like, oh, this seems a little old and outdated. And then you go into maybe a fancy new Chase or one of the big ones that has implemented some of the new technologies. And it's very digital. It's small format. It's maybe got all the fancy lighting and just kind of has that new digital appeal. So we go in and try to figure out exactly where that financial institution is with respect to their transformation and then build out their strategic roadmap from there.
And do they reflect on that? You kind of ask them where they feel they're on that journey?
Yes. And this is interesting. There's a lot of the keeping up with the Joneses in banking. So you can imagine competitor bank down the road has some fancy new technology. And so you think, I have to get that as well. But maybe your customer base isn't ready for that. And that's where we can come in and look at your customers and how they're transacting and say, oh, you know, maybe we should do a crawl, walk, run sort of thing instead of crawl to run and kind of get them on board and get them the data they need to be able to communicate that effectively.
Many thought with online banking and ATM machines, bank branches would become obsolete. That turned out not to be the case. Can you tell me what lessons banks have learned that other companies could benefit and learn from?
It seems like there's always that rhetoric that makes it seem so extreme. To your point, yes, the ATM is here and now the bank branch is going to go away forever. We'll never use tellers again. Or now with the emergence of fintech, we won't need branches. And what's really come out of that is that, especially with the younger generations, they're looking for that true omnichannel experience. They want to be able to interact digitally, through whatever online platforms. They want to be able to do things on their mobile device. They want to be able to access cash through ATMs. And if they have to make an important financial decision, they want to go in and look at someone in the eye and get some consultative feedback from a banker that they have a relationship with. So much of it is relationship-based, and that keeps the bank branch remaining important.
So with your experience working with the larger banks, I imagine you thought that was going to translate well to smaller institutions and credit unions of all sizes. Was that the case?
This was really interesting. I thought coming from larger banks that would establish some credibility. Like, oh, I've done this for the big bank, so I know my stuff. And I remember going in with smaller credit unions. They're like, well, we're nothing like the big banks, so that doesn't apply. And I had to completely reframe and realize, wow, this is the same industry, but these are two completely different types of institutions at two vastly different states of transformation and just their objectives, what their focuses are and what their measures of success will be.
And I imagine there's more access to leadership or the CEO and there's a greater level of visibility across the organization.
Definitely. I have direct lines of communication with some of the CEOs and C-suite for some of the smaller financial institutions. And it's really nice to be able to make that impact for them and be able to communicate to them. And then they bring me in to speak with their board of directors and to be able to really impact their bottom line in that way.
You mentioned crawl, walk, run as kind of an approach you take with some of these organizations. Can you give me an example of that?
So I guess the example of crawl run is we work with some financial institutions that they have ATMs, but they haven't yet, they're just cash dispensing ATMs at this point. They haven't yet moved on to even be deposit taking, which would kind of be a first step to see, okay, how do your customers react to just this new capability? And yet they're interested in exploring something, I would say, on the more extreme end of functionality, such as video tellers, which are even harder to drive adoption. So if you're thinking about creating this customer experience and holding your customer's hand through this adoption process, you would want them to first know that they can deposit their check and cash at the ATM, and then maybe the next step would be to explore some advanced functionality from that point.
So use the term omnichannel, and I know what that means, but maybe some of our audience doesn't. So can you just explain that again?
Yes, when you're thinking of consumers' transactional preferences, omnichannel would mean that I want to transact through the traditional branch channel, through the ATM channel, through digital channels, through online channels. And that would be the true omni-channel experience where you have access to all of those things as part of your banking relationship.
You've worked in the industry a long time. What's your best guess as to where things in tech, banking will go?
From conversations with customers, I'm seeing the focus become a lot more customer-centric, and I think that trend's going to continue into the future. Since customers tend to be a little less sticky now, they tend to have a little less brand loyalty, I'm seeing the financial institutions are having to shift their marketing targets to resonate towards specific target consumer segments. Younger generations, we're seeing a lot less loyalty overall. They're more likely to switch their primary financial institution. So financial institutions are having to respond to that by demonstrating their corporate social responsibility and that they're likable and they're not just the man. They're the one that you want to bank with and you want to stick with.
Marilyn, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. You've given me and our audience a lot to think about as we plan our next visit to the local ATM or online banking. So thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. And thanks to Marilyn Howe. If you like this episode, please share it with a colleague.